You know, you could be like Ron Van Dam too. It's easy. All you have to do is learn to say things like,
Ron, you are so funny.
And,
this is what makes me the wonderful person that I am.
But the trick is, you have to really mean it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
There you go, there you go.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How does one gauge the importance or the success of their life? I believe it's, did you in your lifetime change the world? Did you? Nah, me neither. Changing the world seems like a lot of work. I think you have to get up early. How you doing? How are you? You want to swipe left? You want to swipe right? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Hey, welcome to the program. Well, I am Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show, and it shall be until it's finished, which will be in a short amount of time. So you sit down, relax, I'll take it from here. The theme song composed and performed by Jason Shaw, who does most of our incidental music. Incidentally, Jason Shaw does the background music. Your announcer, a comedian writer, is John Shanahan. Thank you, John. That British girl that you hear at the beginning of the program is Nicole Reed. Nicole actually does our national interview setup things. She does that. I don't know how to do it. I think you have to call people and talk to them to set up interviews. I'm not into calling people. They can call me. I'm not calling them. You come to me, you come to the throne, and then we'll work things out. You have your people get in touch with my people, and then our people can have lunch. We don't even have to eat. Do you have people? I don't have people. Well, I do. I have a few people, but they're not great people. Do you have people that do things for you? Do you have people? People? People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Is that right? I don't know the song. Do you? No, millennials don't. I know that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Hi. Guess which one I am. If you had to choose between Ron Van Dam and Bucky Sherwood, which one do you think I am? I sound like a Bucky Sherwood, but I'm not. You relax. This has been a stressful week for everybody, including you. You've made it stressful, actually. So let's just put it behind us. It's the end of a week, the beginning of a weekend. In the long run, what difference does it make? I mean, every day is the same pretty much anyway for most people. It's day number 2752 of the Big Social Experiment. And all I can tell you is, if you're still married or you still have a boyfriend or girlfriend after all this time in this situation, you have passed the test. Congratulations. You made it. Almost. Not finished yet, but so far you're toleration level is incredible. It's just I bet you didn't think you could tolerate things as much as you have, but I guess you can. Well, oh my God. Oh my God. Yesterday, I get this call. Are you listening to me, by the way? Or are you doing something else? Don't multitask when I'm doing a show. Do you know how much trouble it is for me to do this damn thing? Don't multitask. Don't sit there and read or play with your little cell phone games. At least give me the respect of listening, will you please? Oh my God. My God. What are you knitting a sweater? What are you doing that for? It's hot outside. What are you knitting a sweater for? Pay attention. My eyes are up here, not at my boobs. My eyes are up here in my face, okay? My God, how disrespectful can you be? So yesterday, I'm sitting on my couch playing video games, listening to a podcast, and I wasn't. I don't listen to this stuff. I'm sitting on the couch and playing some video games. I don't know why, because I have a mindless life for a period of time during the day. And the telephone rings. Well, what do you do when the telephone rings? Like Pavlov's dogs. You get up and you pick the phone up or whatever. House phone, cell phone. Ron, excuse me, I'm a millennial. I'm a Generation P. House phone? What is that? It's a phone that was in the house, okay? Jesus. So I pick up the phone, and there's a lapse of time, so I think it's a robocall, but it's not. Eventually, this woman, sounds like a middle-aged woman. I can't tell from a voice how old somebody is, but I can pretty much do a general ballpark kind of thing. The general ballpark. Where did that expression come from? Yeah, you're in the ballpark. What? What are you talking about? I'm in the ballpark. No, I'm not. I just answered one of your questions, and I guessed it was like 323. Oh, you're in the ballpark. I'm in a ballpark all of a sudden? What are you talking about? So the lady says to me, would you mind taking a short survey? I'm with a survey company, and we just want to ask you a few questions. We're not trying to sell you anything. I said, oh, okay, fine, sure. And she starts by saying, are you a registered voter? And I say, yes. I am a registered voter. She says, are you a registered sex offender? I said, no. No, I'm not that. No. No. So are these register questions here? And then she says, do you plan to vote in the primary and in the election? And I said, yes, I do. I'm a citizen of the United States. Those that don't vote should be chastised, nailed to a wall, and deprived of sweets and sugars. And then she said, well, okay, now I live in Massachusetts, and I guess there's a local race between Ed Markey and Joe Kennedy III. When you're talking about a Kennedy, no matter what first name they have, you've got to be the second, third, the fifth, the sixth, because they have so many damn people in that family. But anyway, they're running for Senate, I believe, House of Representatives, Senate. I have no freaking idea, but anyway, they're running for something. And they're both okay. They're both pretty much the same person. It's just that Joe Kennedy is young and Ed Markey is on the older side. But they're both fine. You know, they're both fine. So the lady on the phone says to me, listen to this story. Listen, this is very interesting. And this is a lesson as well. So the lady on the phone says to me, do you plan to vote for Ed Markey? And I said, no, not necessarily. And she said, do you plan to vote for Joe Kennedy? And I said, yeah, probably. And then she asked me a series of questions, and this is where things got a little dicey. This is where we started playing dice. Then she says to me, and she's asking me various survey questions. And she says to me, please answer this question in your mind, true or false. Ed Markey, did you know Ed Markey was, when he was young, he sold ice cream on an ice cream truck. He started his own business. He became successful on his own. Nobody gave him any money. He was always for the people doing the things that he did. He was able to understand people better. Did you know that? Does that make a difference to you at voting time? And I said, no. And then she said, tell me true or false. I said false. And she says, tell me yes or no. Joe Kennedy, did you know he's from the famous Kennedy family? He was born into money because of the family. He has a lot of money. He may not necessarily understand the plight of people because he never sold ice cream from a truck. With that information, would you vote for Joe Kennedy? And I said, yes. I said, excuse me, survey lady. You called me up here telling me that we were taking a survey and you wanted my opinion on things. And now you're trying to sway me in one direction through these questions. These questions are loaded toward Ed Markey. You're putting down Joe Kennedy and then asking me if I would vote for him. You're putting Ed Markey on a pedestal and asking me. So these are you are playing psychological games. This is a campaign call for Ed Markey in the guise of a survey. You're trying to manipulate me. You're taking advantage of me. You're playing me like a fiddle. I don't wish to continue in this survey anymore. This is manipulation, and this is exactly why I would never vote for Ed Markey or any type of survey that he would set up in order to fool people into thinking it's a survey when indeed it's a campaign call. This is despicable. I want to see the manager. And she says, well, I am a company that was hired to ask these questions. I didn't make them up, but I will tell those people of your objection to this, and I thank you for your time, Mr. Van Dam. And I said, well, I understand, but this is a sham and a scam and a flam. And that was the end of the conversation. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, politics are sucky. They are dishonest. They are manipulative. Anything to get a vote, you freaking idiots, you don't understand what this is about. You don't understand. People who are voting for people should have the information. Then they make you don't connive people into things. Ed Markey, you should be ashamed of yourself. Or did you not approve of this method of campaigning by disguising a campaign call as a survey and then manipulating your survey taker into getting information, you low-life little pig? I mean, oh my God. That's where I start to get very, very depressed. Not to the point of hurting myself, but just depressed because the word came into my head. I'm not really depressed, to be honest with you. I'm anything but depressed. I should be depressed, but I'm not. Hey, if you lived in this country the way it is right now, you'd be depressed. So I don't know. I don't understand it either. What happened to us? This Trump guy. Did you ever hear this Trump guy? Did you ever hear of him? I think even millennials have heard of this guy. What a manipulative son of a bitch. Ron, I'm over here. Ron, though, that's politics. That's what politics are. Well, then politics suck. If the definition of politics is to manipulate somebody into putting you on a pedestal so you can have a job, then I don't know. Maybe I should move to Canada, but they have politics there too. Well, then maybe I should move to England. It's the only other country that still speaks English, I think, so maybe I should move there. No, Ron, they're very political and very conniving too. Oh, God, where do I go then? And that's the depressing part. Anyway, welcome to the program. Whoa, what was that about? I'm just saying, beware. All the little pop-up ads on your silly computer screen and your little cell phone that you'll be paying for the next few years. All those things are to manipulate you. They are to make you think a certain way. Get off my ass. Stop trying to make me think something. Give me information. I'll come to my own conclusions. How about that? We call that respect for the human being. But politicians, anybody running for office, at least their campaign people, are conniving. They're out to manipulate you. I am not to be manipulated, my friends, and neither are you. If you've got the balls and the testicles to listen to this show, then you're fairly intelligent. Sorry to tell you that, but you're fairly intelligent. By the way, if you have children in the room right now, I forgot to say at the beginning of the show they shouldn't be here. I'm not going to curse or anything like that. I'm just saying, I don't think their tiny little minds can conceive of this flip-flop show here that's spewing out things that children should not be processing at this age. The only thing children should be processing is lunch meats. Other than that, man. Who invented cheese, by the way? I want to shake his or her hand. What a wonderful idea that was. I know you get milk from a cow, but then who thought that they turn that into cheese? You people are incredible. That's an invention. Forget television. Forget the internet. Forget computers. Man, who invented cheese? Come on. And I think that goes back pretty far. Someone who is really into churning invented cheese. Well, thank you. You did something phenomenal. You made something that goes on everything, unless you live in China. There's no cheese in Chinese food. Have you noticed that? What they're missing out on. Oh, my God. Cheese, man. You don't get it. You people in the Far East, you don't do cheese, do you? Oh. You're missing out on the fondue. It's a pot of hot melted cheese, and you dip stuff in it, and then you put it in your mouth and you eat it. This molten lava cheese. Oh, God, you're missing that whole culture. You're missing out on the cheese. In France, they eat cheese with every meal. They're always eating cheese. Their bodies are 98% cheese. French people haven't gone to the bathroom in 27 years. Cheese, man. And in this country, we love the cheese. Oh, we put cheese on everything. Melted, sliced, cubed, shaved, grated. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do to the cheese. It's still cheese. I have a container of grated cheese that I bought from the supermarket. I shake a little grated cheese into almost everything that I eat and that I cook. It's a little hint of cheese. And when people taste my food, they say, Ron, is there a little hint of cheese in your food? Yes. Yes, there is. And I'm on a quest to find the person that invented cheese. I want to hug them. Not during the pandemic, but when it's over, I want to hug them. All right. I want to update you on my plight to become a doctor. I've talked about this for the past week because I'm obsessed with this now. You know, it's good to be obsessed with something because it's something to do, a very directed thing to do. It's good to be obsessed, not in a stalking manner, but just in a hobby or an interest or a goal, and everything you do kind of goes toward it. So it's psychologically, it's something to do. I decided, let me give you a little recap. You probably listened to the show a while ago if you're a frequent listener, but I had met a doctor at a somewhere, I don't know where it was, and we had a conversation, and I was respecting this man because he was a doctor. I kept saying doctor, his title was doctor. And I finally asked him, I've told this story before, I finally asked him, what kind of doctor are you, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, a dentist? Are you a surgeon? What kind of doctor are you? He said, I'm a doctor of philosophy. And I thought, well, you son of a bitch, you have just scammed me. I thought you were a doctor. I am a doctor. I have a doctorate in philosophy. Ooh, that means nothing to me. Were you a doctor of figuring out why we exist? I don't understand what. And it was from that moment on, then Dr. Phil, who is a scam and a sham in himself, Dr. Phil is a guy that admittedly, Dr. Phil says that he should be in therapy. he's an egotistic child, is what he is. He's got the emotions of a two-year-old. So I said to myself, man, if all these people can be doctors, why can't I? So I'm on a plight to do that. And now I'm starting to introduce myself as doctor to everybody that I don't know. If they know me already, they know I'm not a doctor. I mean, hello. But if they don't know me and I introduce myself as a doctor, because the people never ask to see your diploma. Yeah, Ron, you're a doctor. Can I see your papers? No one says that. They just believe you. The only thing they may say is, where do you practice? And I say, I don't have to practice anymore. I'm a doctor. Oh, what type of doctor are you? That's none of your freaking business, okay? Don't go there. I'm just telling you I'm a doctor. You keep it on a very familiar level is what you do. And it's a great, if you're unattached, you're single, you can lie and say you're a doctor. The only problem with that is if this other person works out in a relationship, eventually they're going to find out that you're really not a doctor. And then they'll dump you like a cold potato. By the way, cold potatoes dump easily. So that doesn't work. But for a while, it's fun. No, Ron, it's another thing. It's deception. It's deceiving. You just did the whole first part of your show, Ron. I'm talking to myself here, by the way. You've done the first part of your show and talked about how politicians deceive people. That's what they do. And now you're deceiving the public by claiming that you're a doctor, but you're not. I know, but I could be a doctor. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? You have the knowledge to be a doctor? Well, no, I don't. I guess I have the knowledge to pass myself off as a doctor. Oh, okay, then fine. So you can call me Dr. Ron from now on, if you don't mind, please, because that's the position that I'll be taking. Certainly when I go to a restaurant or I go to a place that's crowded, which it shouldn't be right now because of the situation. But if I want to get a table at a restaurant or something, I'll just say, they'll say, can we have your name, please, and make a reservation? Can I have your name? Yes, this is Dr. Van Dam. Oh, excuse me, doctor. Dr. Van Dam, where would you like to sit? What time would you like your table reservation? Oh, my Dr. Van Dam, which should I kiss your left cheek or your right cheek first? Oh, Dr. Van Dam. I bet you're successful. I want you here in my restaurant, Dr. Van Dam. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can just use that all over the place. You know, like, if there was a survey, if someone called me to do a survey on a political candidate and they'd say, may I have your name, please? I'd say, yes, I'm Dr. Van Dam. Oh, I don't want to bother you anymore, Dr. Van Dam. You're probably saving somebody's life right now. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a burn victim over here, but I wanted to take your phone call because, you know, I didn't know who it was. You know, I don't have caller ID. So let me get back to the burn victim so they don't die. And can you call me back in about 10 minutes? So I'm doing the doctor thing now. We're going to see how far that goes. Probably not very far. Yeah. Yesterday I went food shopping. My favorite thing in the world to do is shop for food, because I can eat it. Best thing, shopping for cheese. But anyway, so I went to the supermarket and I was looking for cranberry sauce because I had in my mind to make a little Thanksgiving kind of dinner, you know, for me and my girl, you know, I got the chicken and all that stuff, and it's pretty excited about it. But I need some cranberry sauce, but couldn't find it in this gigantic supermarket. So I went to one of the people who were dressed in the supermarket uniform, and she was stocking the shelves. There's no shame in stocking a shelf, man. If you didn't stock the shelves, I couldn't shop. So I respect you, believe me. So I walked up to her and I said, "Excuse me." She said, "Yes." I said, "I'm Dr. Van Dam, and I'm looking for the cranberry sauce." And without batting an eyelash, because she didn't have eyelashes, without batting an eyelash, She said, that's aisle 7, all the way to the left at the end of the aisle. How do you know that? And she said, I just do. When you work here long enough, you just know where everything is. I thought, oh my God, I just called myself a doctor. You are incredible. And I felt like testing her further to be further in awe, but I didn't because that's socially irresponsible. But I felt like saying, okay, where is the Cheerios? Where are the Cheerios? And that'd be aisle 17. And where are the bananas? That'd be aisle 23. And where is the guacamole dip? That's aisle 1. Where is the string cheese? Aisle 7. Wow, you're incredible. You're incredible. Then I felt like really getting like, where is the canned okra? That's aisle 8. Oh my God. And I she should be the doctor. How can you know where everything is in the soup? I can't find a damn thing. And I've been shopping here since I was 2 years old. This she's stocking shelves. She knows where every. I felt like going to the owner of the store and saying, "Excuse me, you got a stock person who's in the gravy section right now?" And I asked her where the cranberry sauce was, and she told me right away. She deserves a raise. She is so impressive. There should be a game show like that, you know, on television where the contestants just recall where the items are in which aisle and for valuable cash and prizes. She astounded me. You see, because I appreciate everybody. Yeah, doctors are special. Sure. You know, electricians, I can't wire a house. I can't build a house. I mean, these people are incredible to me. They do things that I could never do. Also don't want to do them, but that's besides the point. I could never do these things. And then I run across what one would consider to be a very simple job, which does require the job to be done. And then I found deeper intelligence in this person, the ability to recall things on a dime, to recall things when asked without being prompted. No looking at a list, no hesitation, no, from the cranberry sauce, let me think now. It could be 5 or 7, maybe it's 6, I really don't. I would try 6, could be 5, which is right next to 6. So if I'm wrong, you know, you're only an aisle away, you know. That was a song in Annie, wasn't it? You're only an aisle away. But no, this woman, she knew, boom, which aisle, and we're in the aisle, and all the way, and which level of, oh my God, she impressed the hell out of me. If I wasn't already attached, how impressive that is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of the show. I usually have a guest on the show, but apparently today I just wasn't able to shut up. So we're actually just about out of time. Look, what a wonderful weekend this shall be for you. I hope so. You know it's not going to turn out that way, but we always look forward to the weekend, and the weekend comes, and it's like, that's what I look forward to? I know. That's like everything in life, right? Ooh, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to go to this party. Oh, now I'm sick from going to the party? Oh, God. That wasn't good. You know, that's just don't set your goals too high because you'll never reach them and you'll just be disappointed. Set the bar so low that it's absolutely insane. Like, what are you going to do tomorrow, Ron? I'm going to get up and brush my teeth. That's a plan. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. And I can. Phew. Unbelievable. Maybe you should have multitasked. maybe you should have knit a sweater. By the way, it's too hot outside. Let's get this summer thing out of the way. It's funny, in the winter, I know the closing music is on, I realize that. It's funny, in the winter, I couldn't wait for the warm weather. And now that it's freaking hot all over the country, now I can't wait for the winter. You cannot please me. Not me, Dr. Van Damme. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I'll be back again Monday. Join me then, please. Wear a mask.